football on Off the Ball.
It's a hammer blow for the league in many ways. Damien Duff and Champions League football sounds great together.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Never in doubt. Never in doubt.
Thanks for making it in.
Woo! Happy Thursday, everybody. Carl Spain, you had to be there coming away 9:05. It's just Sheehan and Keir Trant talking Gaelic football. Should the new rules in men's Gaelic football apply to the women's? This isn't our idea, by the way. Sean Cavan is going to join us at 9:05. In the meantime, we'll say a very good morning to Dara Smith-Nocton. Dara, good morning to you.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
How are you?
Breathless.
Breathless. Cullum, how are you after dark?
Hey, sir. You what? You made it?
And things took a turn last night on the... Oh, it's not last night, actually. Tonight. On the quiz. The quiz is now Thursday evenings.
77 people have seen it on YouTube already, so maybe you can say it anyway, to be honest. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. It's scheduled, but a good few people have already seen anyway. So.
77, that's not very good, is it? Jesus. Anyway, I think all my best bits got cut, so I'm happy to recycle all my best material on this show if you'd like. The Lions team is out?
Yeah, Mac Hansen starts.
Yeah! Mac or left wing?
He's on the wing, left wing. Gary Ringrose starts. Tadhg Furlong. Joe McCarthy and Tadhg Byrne and Dan Sheehan is the captain.
I was thinking about Dan Sheehan as captain.
It's very Irish.
He is captain material, isn't he?
Yeah.
There you go.
He is, yeah.
I'll go for go
1-15 there, yeah.
Pierre Schumann, Dan Sheehan, Tadhg Furlong, Scott Cummings, your boy. Joe McCarthy, Tadhg Byrne, Josh van der Fleer and Henry Pollock starts at 8.
Byrne at 6. Byrne at 6.
The papers had it wrong, actually.
Halfback partnership, you got Thomas Williams and Finn Russell. Then you have James Lowe, Sione Toipulotu, Guy Ringrose, Mac Hansen. Elliot Daly is playing fullback.
Elliot Daly fullback, I think, is a live possibility to start the test, yeah, especially with the way things are going at the moment.
That's a fun team. Yeah.
That is a great team.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm back in.
Dan Sheehan, captain.
You pick Mac Hansen, I'm watching it.
He is box office. He is. That is exciting. Captain. Finn Russell.
I would have thought they would have gone like, if they're going to pick an Irish captain there, would have gone Tadhg Byrne or Josh van der Fleer. It's an interesting show.
It's very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
They obviously see this guy, like, maybe he'll end up being a better captain than Caelan Doris. I know Caelan Doris is injured and it's terrible to say things like that about people when they're injured. But maybe Dan Sheehan is the man.
Maybe.
Sorry, now, you always end up being off the field for the end of the game when you start as a hooker.
But this game is against Western Force. This is Saturday morning, 11 a.m. Irish time.
So can we just run through it again? Who, front row?
Schumann, Sheehan, Furlong.
You didn't go through the bench there.
I don't have it, so I don't have the...
I have the bench here for you now.
Yeah, go to the bench there.
Ronan Kelleher.
Yeah.
Andrew Porter. Will Stewart. Ollie Chesham. Jack Conan. It's interesting Henry Pollock's starting over Jack Conan, but Alex Mitchell, Hugh Jones, and your friend Marcus Smith.
6-3, 5-2, 5-3.
5-3, yeah.
Check numbers out. So a 5-3 split on the bench. And let's just go back again. Second rows are Joe McCarthy and
Scott Cummins.
Scott Cummings.
Okay. And a back row, that's very interesting that they're picking him as a 6.
Like Byrne?
Yeah.
I thought they'd gone away from that. But
is this an indication of something, 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 something? It's the line-out option. Do they want to try and get somebody else into that second row alongside Mauro Itoje for something specific that they're trying to do? Because obviously, let's face it, Mauro Itoje is starting three tests. That's a nailed-on, guaranteed third. Yeah. I know you're saying sometimes they've dropped captains before, but they're not going to drop Mauro Itoje.
They're planning on playing them three tests.
And so, who is 7?
Josh van der Fleer.
And who's 8?
Henry Pollock.
Henry Pollock.
All right, that's a give the young man enough rope, see what happens.
That is really interesting, especially since Jack Conan is on the bench. That is very interesting.
Yeah.
First, we'll see if Finn Russell.
Yeah.
Thomas Williams came on, didn't he, on Friday night?
Yeah.
He starts.
I would not be surprised if we see Thomas Williams starting tests, considering Gibson Park's injury status at the minute. I really wouldn't.
He's also only start. You could argue they'll only start Alex Mitchell if they're also starting Finn Smith.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. I think is he not pretty good,
Mitchell?
Yeah,
people seem to be disappointed with his performance on Friday.
I definitely saw mixed reports on it, and yeah, he was pretty calm under pressure. Like, look, I don't know. You want to see his the stats for his and the times for his arrival at Rooks and blah blah blah. The stuff that actually is very important that you can't really just tell from looking at.
Yeah.
From watching the game.
I didn't think he was great in the Six Nations though. And I think that matters a bit more than how he played in Europe because it's test level. But like, I think if Gibson Park is fit, Gibson Park plays, but he has to get back fit.
What are you changing there from that 15 to the first Australia 15?
Well, like, the captain starts.
The captain starts. Atoje takes the proverbial armband back.
Furlong's not going to start, I don't think.
No,
unless
Furlong's
he plays
not going to start. Sheehan remains.
Into fitness.
Schumann's not. Probably Schumann's not playing at all.
No, Schumann's not going to start. Cummings isn't going to start.
He might.
There's room for a plus one. It depends, right? Does Tyburn play six or not?
Yeah, this is the thing now.
Is there a line out thing that they're trying to do? Is there a scrum specific thing that they're trying to do in the second row? Again, these are questions they'll never answer. Although maybe they'll tell us today. The press conference is in a couple of hours' time, but that is the Lions team for this weekend's game. Who else is changing? Number eight is changing.
Joe McCarthy's not starting.
Joe McCarthy probably won't play.
Well, is this not his chance to play himself into the team?
Absolutely, but then like Marrow has to be in there.
Wait, there are variables. Who are the absolute guaranteed starters first test? Everyone's fit.
Dan Sheehan.
Sheehan?
Atoje.
The captain. Van der Fleer?
I don't know. I think that
probably, I wouldn't say guaranteed.
Are any of the backs guaranteed?
Gibson Park, if he's fit, I think.
Yeah, because he's not fit, he's not guaranteed.
No, he's not guaranteed. Number 10 is certainly not guaranteed.
Number 10 is guaranteed. 100%.
Who?
Finn Russell is starting. 100%. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's not close. Those lads are not close to him.
Okay.
Finn Russell is. I'm pulling a Eamon Fitzmaurice. There's only one team and one tier, and that's Armagh.
So
just
are you are you subscribing to the idea that if Gibson Park isn't fit, that Thomas Williams may actually start scrum half against Australia first time out because they're going to keep Mitchell and
I'm not subscribing. Okay. You're going to go
Mitchell Russell. If Gibson Park isn't fit,
I'm not picking nine. Right, I think that nine is up for grabs.
Nine's up for grabs. So
ten is not up for grabs. Finn Russell.
Okay, you're having Russell. Does James Lowe start no matter what?
You know what? I would say so. Yeah, I don't really. There's no one better than him on the left wing.
Who's the other wing?
Obviously, now that's up for debate now, I think.
Tommy Freeman is obviously everybody's favourite. He's the and straight in.
You'd argue both centres and the fullback is still TBC.
Well, I think
because of
Hugo Keenan's injury has opened up the possibility there. But I think that it's very interesting that who did they pick the 15 today?
Elliot Daly.
They love a bit of Elliot Daly. Mm-hmm. I can see why. I think
Elliot Daly, can I just say, one of the most underrated players of his generation. 2017, he started on the left wing. 2021, he started in centre.
Mm.
And now, 2025, he might start at fullback. Like, that is
in
class.
Tests?
Yeah.
All right.
That is class.
You say underrated. He has like 100 caps, doesn't he?
But sure, no one talks about him. You never talk about him.
You know? Not giving him his flowers to like. Speak. He's a coach's player. A player's player. But is he a fan's player?
Yeah, the fans player. He often comes off the pitch with a pristine white jersey when all around him are covered in blood and grass.
And yet he's still effective. So the one fullback is possibly injured. The other fullback has a Jim McGuinness, Donegal schedule type thing to look out for. So anything he could swoop in. But geez, lads, that's not very many guaranteed starters. That's about five of the 15.
It is very interesting.
It's probably the most interesting element of the tour, if you get me. Who actually plays?
Tell you what, Henry Pollock has to have the best game of his life now if he wants to play in a test.
I feel like he will start one of the three tests. I just don't know which one.
You think?
Yeah. Well,
this is his chance nowadays.
The youngest Lions is 1968.
Yeah.
But I don't think that matters if he's going to be... If he's going to make that much of a difference. There's loads of games before the first test, isn't there?
There's a good few.
No, I think there's another like three or four matches before first time out. Like, so yeah, loads is going to change.
A lot's going to change, and there's going to be injuries. That's the problem. Like,
I know. If it's the heartbreak, and it's such an interesting dynamic on the whole Lions tour is that you play in these games, and particularly if you're the likes of Pollock or Joe McCarthy, or Elliot Daly or Mac Hansen, is like, you have to give a draw in these games. But of course, if you give a draw, you're always risking the possibility of an injury, and then it's all over. Because like Xander Fagers have never even got going.
So the Force, the Reds, the Waratahs, Brumbies, TBD, and then their first test on the 19th of July. So there's a good bit of game time.
All in the game saying Sheehan, Itoje, Gibson Park, Russell Lowe are all guaranteed, his opinion.
Gibson Park, if he's fit. So he's not guaranteed. He's not fit yet. He hasn't proven his fitness. And I'm sure they're minding him.
Well, I was at the captain's run there before the Argentina game, and he was going through plays. Now, walking pace with the rest of the team, but he's there. Like, he's throwing balls. Do you know? He's not completely out the loop. I really like that team, though. I really like that team.
Right. Well, we went through some of the headlines.
Yeah, yeah. I suppose the big news overnight is Kevin McStay, isn't it?
Yeah, McStay goes is the back page headline on the Mirror. They also have shirt shrift, which, look, the Daily Star also have this shirt shrift. It's like, almost like they're done by the same people. Oh, right, they are. This is about Garnacho wearing the Villa shirt has somehow costing Manchester United 17.5 million euros. Oh. This is such bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah, why is it on the back page today? Because this story is a few days old.
Well, they've slashed the price. There is
of his transfer value.
There's a fire sale on at Manchester United. You can now get, you know, the fake deadline of the end of June for some clubs who do financial, their accounting in at the end of June. He is now available for 53.5 million euros as opposed to 52.5 as opposed to 70 million euros, which was the previous price.
Mm.
I'm sure it's not connected to the fact that he was wearing the jersey. It's connected to the fact that Man United clearly don't want him. And so why would you spend top dollar on somebody who the club don't want? It's not great marketing.
Yeah, I think I'd say Amrim himself is just more keen to get rid of the player. That's his top priority over the transfer fee that he'll receive. He just doesn't want him. The club obviously want the money, but Amrim just wants to work with people that he likes.
Mm.
He doesn't like it. He doesn't and like Garnacho.
Does that have an impact on how much Amrim can spend? Oh, wait, it
yeah,
does.
Possibly, yeah.
So there.
I think Amrim is just. I obviously he wants all the money too, like, but he wants primarily to work with players that he can work with.
Yeah.
Did Garnacho have problems with Ten Hag? I don't remember him ever being. There's a lot of.
He was a bit petulant from time to time when he was getting sold off, but he's a child.
It's ironic because the night of the Cristiano Ronaldo interview with Piers Morgan, Garnacho had scored a wonder goal to win the game against Fulham. And it was seen as like, this guy has a great attitude compared to the experienced guy who's letting everyone down. But yeah, like he got a fair bit of abuse from United fans last season as well. There's one video of him signing autographs and some guy's giving him abuse behind the camera and he takes it extremely well and smiles and walks away. So he is a child, like, but then you could say like other people are the same age as him or younger in high profile teams and they don't react like that. So I see the argument for both when it comes to Garnacho. But he certainly does have a future at the club under Amrim.
This is GOMO. This is $14.99 a month mobile for life. With GOMO, you get all calls, texts, all 5G data for just $14.99 a month, a guaranteed price for life. Switching is easy. Visit gomo.ie, sign up, and you are good to GOMO. Join GOMO, the award-winning mobile network. Unlimited data refers to domestic use only. 30-day contract applies. A once-off SIM activation fee of $14.99 applies. For full details, terms, roaming, and text fare use, see gomo.ie.
Mayo Chiefs call time early on McStay. A fairly brutal piece of work done by the Mayo GAA executive. They met last night in McHale Park. There was a relatively terse statement. A decision was made to relieve Kevin McStay and his management team from their roles with the Mayo senior football team with immediate effect. We'd like to sincerely thank Kevin and his management team for their time, effort and commitment to the Mayo senior football team during their tenure. Their dedication to the players and the jersey has been greatly appreciated by all involved with Mayo GAA. We wish Kevin and his management team every success in the future, both on and off the field. An update regarding the future management of the senior football team will be provided in due course. That is so that's carried in all the newspapers today. I'm not linking these, right? But I am saying that there are big features about how well Monaghan are going at the moment with Andy Moran in charge of their forwards. I don't have that paper with me. It might have been the Indo. They were pointing out this. Now, this is totally coincidental because obviously that piece would have been in the works for a while. Monaghan kind of underreported how well they've been going at the moment. Heading into the weekend, they were the only team to come through unbeaten.
They've only played four championship games compared to Donegal 7.
And Donegal obviously beat them. It ended up being quite close in the end.
Yeah, it was.
In their first day out.
Yeah.
And then Monaghan took some time off, totally long grassing it. Moran's mantra, working magic for Farney's army. It's a Michael Verney piece today. Former Mayo star hits ground running as forwards coach at Monaghan. Is he the perfect candidate for the Mayo gig?
It's what I thought reading the statements, to be honest.
Yeah.
Halfway through the statement, I was thinking, because if everyone's gone from this era, including Stephen Ratchford, you think, well, they're going to want something, someone new and young in, and to start this new generation of Mayo.
With a link to the golden generation.
It's perfect.
It'd be tough to say no to.
Huh?
It'd be tough to say no to.
Yeah, yeah. We just got to, I suppose it's a decision for Moran to make more than Mayo, I would say. Do you take this job as the dream job on paper? I imagine it's his dream job. Maybe it's not. But say it is, it's very early.
Well, it's very early, and do you feel like the current crop of players is going to be the one that gets you to...
But the great regret in life would be if you say no and then don't get a second chance. That's why all these people say yes to these jobs prematurely and just hope it works out.
Is it too early? Like, he's already...
He has what, one inter-county job, and now he has a backroom job, and that's his experience.
Yeah. I don't see much of a problem with that at all. Oh, like, there's a lot of young coaches, like Jerry Brennan and Conor Laverty, doing great things at the minute.
I don't see any problem with it.
He'd be super familiar with this.
Jerry is not his own county. You know, this is going to be the emotional toll as well for Andy Moran.
I don't know. I think that can only be a good thing. If he knows the system.
I hope it happens. I hope he takes it. I hope he gets it. I hope he gets offered it.
He'd be great.
But that's the only doubt, really. It's like, do I want to get a few miles more?
Well, I suppose the thing is that there will be competition, I'm sure. There's always competition for the Mayo gig. There's always like five or six rival managerial conglomerations that get put together, that get put forward. But maybe if Andy decides to go forward and puts together a backroom team. Now, after what's happened at Meath, the backroom teams really matter. Do they matter that much? Because we definitely went deep with Tommy all off-season about how important the backroom teams were, quality of coaching, and they obviously matter to a certain degree. Maybe all the good quality coaching that Meath got from the two lads in advance of the championship is standing them in good stead now.
Maybe they agree with you. Maybe they'll go after Robbie Brennan. You know, they could target managers in situ.
I don't think they'll do that.
Is Andy Moran, you remember we talked about messiahs in GA, is Andy Moran Mayo's messiah? Is he that type of character? Is he a big enough character?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that person to just lift Mayo up by himself.
I mean, obviously, Lee Keegan also won Footballer of the Year, but him and Lee Keegan are Footballers of the Year in a county that hasn't had All-Ireland national success since just after the war, was it? What year? Was it 48? What, 50? 40? Early 50s, something whenever the curse started.
Yeah.
Should really know that. That's a good quiz question. But yeah, like absolutely, Andy. And the thing is, he's an incredible communicator, obviously totally and utterly committed, has gone and cut his teeth, has known the devastation of being beaten by New York. Like, there's a penalty shootout. It's like the highest profile one at that stage. Is it one of the first championship ones? And it's a great story. And everybody's like, wow, this is incredible. But the other side of that is the devastation. We talked to him about it on the show about sitting in the airport on the way home going, oh my God, what have I done? But for them to come back from there to end up getting promoted to Division 3, like, he left them in very good state. They fulfilled every fixture, which turns out is difficult to do. Subsequently, we've learned. And now the Monaghan forwards are like kicking 22, 26 points a game. You're like, this is pretty good. So the CV is there. I think the county would get behind him, apart from your man, obviously, at the bar.
But even with Mayo, it seems a massive problem is just getting their forwards in line and working together. Like, because they have great forwards. Like, that's not a question. They have really good talent up there. But it's a thing of, like, how are they using them to their full ability. He's obviously done that with Monaghan. There's a lot of young forwards there, and I don't know if you've watched much of them this season, but they're brilliant to watch with the ball in hand.
Will Killian O'Connor come back? You suspect he probably would come back for one last tour of the battlefield.
It's tough and mixed day. That's surprising.
Look,
there's a world where he greenlit this statement, and we're not going to know about that. But it wasn't a surprise statement.
Well, there was no comment from
the decision. Wasn't exactly, and so all of it was fine. I could understandable, but it was just because of it was only late May that he stepped away for health reasons, and then this comes in the back of what, really, in the grand scheme of things, days after the Exeter Championship. Not like they were in a mad rush to announce this, but yeah, it's tough for them the way it ended.
It is tough, and we really hope that we haven't heard anything about his health. We really hope that he's well. That's the most important thing here. At the same time, you would say that Mayo management team haven't delivered on what the expectations were, or what I'd say what their own expectations were. So they're two separate things, right? You absolutely wish the very best for him and for everybody involved, but the county needs to move on. And I think, in fairness, I did say it was fairly brutal at the start, but like, ultimately, here we are at the end of June. And they have plenty of time to make decisions about what comes next. Potential future Mayo managers can go and watch club league games at all levels in the county, scout players, and then come whenever the official appointment gets made, which presumably is after the All-Ireland final, maybe it's before that. Then everybody is aligned early and you start. You know, they're not messing around. There's no long winter of discontent. There's no rumour mill. I mean, obviously it's Mayo, there will be a rumour mill.
Yeah. It is mad, like the Cavan game has just haunted them this season completely. Like that one kind of blip. Like, look, me being from Cavan, it was a great day for us, but like, you know, it hasn't meant that much to us, but it's meant a lot to them in terms of how their season's gone and how their management has gone. Yeah. It's a mad sequence of events, really.
I wonder, will Lee Carsey be a contender for the job? He's flying it there. It's got England under-21s back into the Euros final. Harvey Elliott, a man against boys. Second goal there, he was running through it like it was playground, like it was PE.
Yeah.
And he was the captain and picking all the best players for himself. Just ambles by the Netherlands, no bother.
Would you say the defence wasn't great?
They split open.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Brian Howard's goal. He just kind of went to recycle, it came back around, and then just decided, actually, I can just go and score here. I don't really need to pass the ball at all.
Goes to show the levels, like. So Harvey Elliott is not under 21 whatsoever, but he's picked anyway, and he's playing against these boys, and he showcases the difference in the levels for a guy who's a Liverpool squad player. But he's having the tournament of his life at the moment. And the Dutch goal was class as well.
Oh, for anyone that didn't sensational, see it. Yeah.
Like the way he takes it. This guy, he was alone at Hull, actually, for any Hull fans out there, a couple of years ago. But he curls it around the goalkeeper, Beadle, who plays for Brighton. He's only 20 himself, the goalkeeper. What a finish, like, curls it around. Noah, Ohio.
So, but from downtown, from miles out.
And he just, it's the curl on it.
The ball gets hoiked forward from the left back position.
The curl is gorgeous. But nevertheless, Lee Carsey keeps on delivering. And who knows, like, I see that Dermot Keenan is asking, is the 21s his level? Of course, we don't know. But he's excelling at it.
You'd have to think Lee Carsley could get a championship / Premier League job. The way, no?
Well, like, everything's open and up for grabs with the Keith Andrew news.
Sorry, is he just waiting for the England job? Because, like, Tuchel obviously is just there for this period of time.
He had it. He did interim stint as the England manager, and he didn't seem to like it too much. There's way too much pressure.
He wasn't very good, right? Now,
but he experimented, in fairness. He played this false nine formation game and they lost.
He wasn't very good, but it turns out nobody's very good at managing international teams. Tuchel comes in and everybody's like, why is this? Bring back Carsley. And they were not saying bring back Carsley.
I just don't think there's a world they'll do it because he didn't carry himself as a guy who wanted to be the England senior manager.
Yeah, but things can change. He can go away and get a bit of coaching and that and come back next time and go, I wasn't ready for it then. I'm ready for it now.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm wiser and more mature. And look what Thomas Tuchel did. He did nothing. He was your superstar. I won a Champions League. Sir Gareth Southgate today. Did you see this? They've decided Sir David Beckham, Sir Gareth Southgate. Mm-hmm. Obviously the football fan, Prince William, is obviously there going, here, give it to all my football pals. Another Aston Villa legend, of course, Southgate. Maybe that was why I got it. I got sidetracked there by... anyway, I just think there is a world in which Lee Carsley changes his mind and decides, actually, you know what, I want to go for it, because why wouldn't I?
Well, he hardly wants to stay under 21s forever.
I don't know, he's excelling at it. Like, if you're very good at it, maybe he doesn't want to leave. But it does, like, who knows? Who
it
knows
is something of a job for life if he wins this again, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. If he retains it 100%.
I imagine his ambitions beyond. And it must be tough to build connections with like an under 21 team, because
conveyor belt players,
yeah, like
passing ships. Yeah. I never really get close to anyone. Maybe that's how he likes it. Keith Andrews there, he's going to have a tough from the start. He's going to lose his captain here. See this? Christian Norgaard's going to Arsenal.
Yeah.
And only getting less than £9.5 million for him.
He is an outlad,
not
though,
these days.
He is an outlad, comparatively. He's going to be the oldest player. Thomas Partey, obviously, is not going to re-sign.
He's 31.
Yeah, he's going to be the oldest player at Arsenal by a mile.
But it's not that old.
Well, sorry. I'm
very young.
I'm making the point that...
If he died, it'd be a tragedy.
Well, I mean, you're thinking of yourself here, but in football terms, he's an outlad.
No, he's a young boy.
You're not going to make it to football anymore, Colin.
Do you know who Brentford should sign, actually? Jamie Vardy.
Why?
Get him in for free. His contract expires there the 30th of June.
Not sure
that last night.
Type of Moneyball signing. Maybe it is.
If he wants one last hurrah, if he wants to play in the Premier League still. But they'll need someone if Aubameyang does go. But they're losing their captain now as well. You worry for Brentford next season, big time. Do you think there's any world where Creeping Kelleher's regretting this?
No. I think Kelleher just wants to play football.
But he could have played a lot of clubs.
Where were the options?
What?
When push came to shove, where were the options?
Could have gone Chelsea, Spurs.
Will you say this?
Newcastle.
Like,
they're all linked with goalkeepers at the moment.
I think he
went to the club that showed the first serious interest in him because he was so desperate to play first team football.
Fantasy football you're talking about.
He could have. Transfers happen like this all the time. You're linked with a number of clubs. One club signs you. I'm sure he could have just waited it out and see what happens, but he was very keen to go from the start when Thomas Frank was in situ. Like, did Thomas Frank tell him, I'm going to be here next year? I'd love to know that. Because when you're signing for a club, you are signing for the manager as well.
We can ask him at the next press conference, which will be soon enough.
He'll never tell us now. He might tell us in the future. Big tie for anniversary as well. 35 years ago, Ireland, Romania, Italia 90. Saw this clip, Jack Charlton saying he hadn't smoked in 2 years until the penalty shootout. Turned around in the stand, asked someone for a fag. And then he was talking about the penalties themselves, and he was commenting, he was like, I just can't believe David O'Leary went up to take the penalty, as if he had no say at all and who was taking the penalties. Different time, great approach.
I don't think he had much of a say. It's like, who wants it, you know?
But he was surprised when he saw David O'Leary walking up. It's not even like he knew the order of the players.
He didn't really like O'Leary very much.
No, he didn't at all.
It was a fancy Dan.
Where were you, lads?
I was one.
You were at home, watching it at home.
It was Monday afternoon.
In June, why weren't we in school? Maybe school just...
I was told, if you looked out the window that afternoon, there was nobody at all in the streets whatsoever during that penalty shootout. The country is closed down. And a busy work day as well.
Well, it was the biggest thing ever.
Mm.
I remember the 1980s are kind of entirely in black and white in Ireland. And here's this splash of summer colour. Now, that's not entirely true, because obviously in 1987, I don't know if you've ever seen the footage of like Stephen Roach getting an open top bus through Dublin, and it was pretty busy. And then obviously Euro 88, the team getting an open top bus. Did they get an open top bus? There must have been. Must have been a homecoming for the Euro 88 team. Was there?
Yeah, there would have been, but that's not the famous one where he was like,
no, that's
we
90.
Drank little and prepared well, we're going to change that tonight. That was definitely 90 when he came back to Dublin.
And then they had the 94 homecoming where Boyzone are wearing orange boiler suits at the Phoenix Park and Joe Duffy is the host. And not many people showed up because they're like, oh, we only reached the second round. It's a failure. It's like, what we wouldn't give for a second.
We got used to the good times. We got used to the good times at that point.
I know. We should hold ourselves to higher standards. We did screw up in that World Cup badly. We had Roy Keane and Paul McGrath in the same team for like 4 games. You know, we could have had a slightly higher ambition. But anyway, have you seen how dangerous the football has become at the Club World Cup.
The weather. The dogs, getting Crocs for the dogs. The Crocs for their paws.
Because it's too hot.
It's too hot.
It's too hot, yeah.
Above 30 degrees is dangerous for dogs and their paws. Jesus. And I think it was like 38 degrees yesterday in some game.
Yeah, that's 38 degrees in the shade, right?
Yeah.
Like,
didn't Chelsea have to call off training?
Maresca was saying, yeah, they can't train. It's just too hot.
By all accounts, so there's the mid-afternoon fixtures, the 12 o'clock kickoff fixtures, and then there's the evening fixtures. A load of the 12 o'clock fixtures have been nil-alls because everybody's absolutely wrecked, wandering around the place in the heat. The evening fixtures have been great, and there's been better attendances, and some of them have been 4-4 draws and been loads of goals. Now, some of those are dead rubbers, so it didn't really matter. But as the competition progresses, more of the games will be in the afternoon so that we in Europe who have turned our backs on this competition will actually be able to watch the latter stages of it, which start next week. So it's Lionel Messi versus Paris Saint-Germain, first time he'll have faced one of his former clubs.
Starts Saturday, the last 16.
And the Brazilian teams are all doing brilliantly. River Plate got knocked out last night, unfortunately. Monterrey.
Boca are gone, aren't they?
Monterrey survived, so that'll be big for the Mexican community. I think that there's no doubt that this is a competition that's here to stay because FIFA are making loads of money off it.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they already talked before a ball was kicked about extending it next time around if they continue the competition.
Yeah.
What was your feeling coming into it?
I thought that there's a very European roll of the eyes.
Just like large scale apathy because it's the European calendar where you're associating with the off season. So you're thinking, well, the players aren't going to try, they're not going to care.
Yeah.
And then you looked at the first few games and it was sunshine in America and it was a very distinctive looking game where you associate that with a pre-season friendly where you don't even have the names of the players in the back of the jerseys. They're all just wearing 1-11 squad numbers. You're trying out new signings and it doesn't officially count if you score a goal. And that's what you associated with. When in reality, this is neither a postseason or pre-season tournament. This is living on its own. So it's really hard to get into. We had Matt Slater on just before it started. And we were talking about when will people start getting interested? And we predicted a week into it, people will start noticing. So I'm kind of surprised it's taken that bit of a time for everyone to get into it. But
Messi scored, people are interested.
When there are fewer games, this side of the world or not, when there are fewer games, I think this side of the world will catch up with it towards the end. But ultimately, it'll probably be a forgotten tournament. Because as soon as it's over, actual pre-season starts for next season.
Yeah.
Even if you win the competition, you don't have an awful lot of time to celebrate.
The money that they're all going to get, it'll be one for the history books column. It's like you win the league and then you have a Champions League final 3 days later, and I didn't have time to celebrate that. We didn't quite fully appreciate the.
For Atletico in 2014 when they won the league, and then a week later, last Champions League final in heartbreaking fashion. But for this one, this is an additional tournament again. We'll only know in 6 months' time what the effect of this tournament will be. If next season is terrible in the top five European leagues.
Well, terrible for the teams who could take part in this. Obviously, loads of teams aren't taking part.
So if Chelsea and Manchester City are really poor next season in the Premier League, you'd be like, okay, maybe this is related. But it's just, it's hard to get your teeth sucked into. There's loads of games happening at the same time, and we're missing loads of them because of the time difference.
There's four games a day, which is a big problem.
I haven't even seen one. I've watched any of it.
But maybe as things progress, you might get sucked in. And as I said, the times are slightly better from this point forward.